Welcome to our third installment of our 2018 Outlook series with Mercator Advisory Group. If you have not had a chance yet to catch our first two episodes with Aaron McPherson or Sarah Grotta, I recommend you do so after listening to this episode. To make sure you receive the rest of the episodes in this series, please be sure to subscribe to our podcast via iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Now, let's start the show. Welcome to the Payment Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack, and today we're going to be taking a look at the credit outlook for 2018. And to help me with that conversation, I have Brian Riley, the Director of the Credit Advisory Service at Mercator Advisory Group. Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Ryan.
Now, in 2018, what are the factors that you're seeing that will affect credit cards?
Well, we have to start looking at how 2017 ended, because there's some important launch points. And the first thing is that there's a general revenue decline in credit cards today. And back in the golden age of credit cards 20 years ago, the return on asset was up in the 7-8% range, which is substantially high for retail banking. Retail banking typically runs in the 2%-3% range. What we've seen since 2007 or so is a rapid decline, where last year we ended the year at about a 3.74% return on asset, significantly worse than prior years. Now, on the upside, it's better than retail banking by 200%, but as the ROA on credit cards is declining, the return on asset for retail banking is growing. And some of the reasons that it is doing that will be impacting 2018, and one of them is the Card Act of 2009, which took a lot of fees out of the industry, gave a much more stable look at interest rates, and so when you start looking at the profitability, it certainly is suspect. There's also some risk management issues that carry over. Towards year end, we started to see some deterioration on the collection side, and we project that that's going to continue throughout the year, with some events where the write-off rates will continue to decline, as will delinquency. And there's also some environmental factors that come into play, which are really important. Certainly, we all know the prime rate was held stable for many years at 3.25% as the U.S. was exiting the recession. And we expect to see in 2018 at least three bumps in the interest rate. And that has a household effect on the household budget of many people, which drives the consumer business. So as we look into 2018, we're optimistic, but we're also cautious at the same time. Volumes are up, but yes, risks are up at the same time.
Great. So where are you seeing the risks in the U.S. credit cards industry today?
Well, the risk stems from the high volume of accounts that have been booked. And we've seen some really interesting things go on with that. You know, where the U.S. stands today, we have, at the close of 2017, we estimate 435 million active accounts. But to get to that scale, we've had lots of new accounts put on the books. In fact, it's really interesting to note that in 2016, there were 66.7 million new accounts added. And at the same time, the account growth in the United States in aggregate has only been up about 3 million accounts. So that's one really important factor. There's a lot of new accounts on the books that have been not yet seasoned the way you want to see a credit curve build accounts. Typically, when you're booking new accounts, it takes about a year and a half to kind of season it, and you take a quick burn off of some accounts that shouldn't have been booked. But we see that level of account growth stable while we're booking so many accounts. And at the same time, the business has gotten very competitive, and issuers have had to dig deeper into the credit tools, and there's a lot more stress with some of the new accounts going on because they could be less qualified. So that's a big concern.
Thank you for that. Now, there's a lot of regulation going on in Europe, but what does that really mean for the U.S. market?
The whole payment network is a global network, and you certainly have nuances between markets, certainly in developed markets versus emerging markets. When you start looking at some of the controls, say interchange, which is one of the factors that fuels the revenue in this business, it's taken major hits in Europe. Now, U.S. is the home of the card companies, and we typically have had the highest interchange rates in the world. And what's happened in Europe is that the credit interchange has gone down to 40 basis points compared to the U.S. market, which is typically 1.75%. So that's 175 basis points. Significant difference. We've seen that bleed over into Canada, where Canada is running in that 40 basis point realm again. So there's a lot of potential risk that there could be some long-term decrease in U.S. interchange. That's a good example of something. Something else that's important out of Europe is open banking. With under the Payment Services Directive 2, which there's a note in our library about, it talks to the European market really extending themselves outside of just Europe. And there's a clause in there called that's referred to as one leg in, one leg out. So if you're a U.S. issuer and you're doing business in Europe, say your customer is traveling there, you might be bound by some of these requirements. And that's the way a lot of regulations really flow through the country. If you look at interchange, it started about 12 years ago in Australia where they did cost-based accounting, and that really whittled the interchange rate down in Australia. Then before you know it, it's in Europe, and as we saw under Dodd-Frank, there was a substantial decrease in the U.S. market for debit interchange. So the big important issue here is you've got to keep your eyes open on the globe and see what can transcend throughout various markets.
Right. Now, I'm glad that you brought up the Mercator Library here, because recently you published a report about, you know, acquisition challenges in the credit card industry. Can you give us a quick little overview about what that report is focusing on?
Sure. We have a lot of very rich and current content in the Mercator Library. And the piece that we did on acquisitions is really important as we start the year, because it talks about the volumes that we discussed a moment ago. You know, the U.S. market at 435 million cards. Very limited growth, but we're booking a lot of new accounts. And what that really tells you when you sit back and look at it is attrition is really high within the U.S. bank card world. And we peg the number at about 15%. Attrition means a customer has either left me or I've forced them to leave. In the interest of it, forcing them to leave, that's referred to as involuntary delinquency. So when your card hits about 60 days delinquent, the credit policies that you're issuer uses will shut down the account just to protect from incremental risk on the account. That's one segment. The other segment is customers that migrate from issuer to issuer, many playing the whole rewards game. They might be able to go to Chase and get a 100,000 point reward for opening up a reserve card. And then when the billing period comes and they're due to pay 450, they might move their card to Citi or Bank of America that might offer a substantial plan. So really the takeaway on acquisitions is you can't just book accounts. You have to really manage them, let them season, and enjoy the benefits that come from that. And it requires the issuer to have very strong retention policies. And whether that means they have aggressive collections that try to shut down delinquencies at the 30-day level to protect them from shutting down, that's one angle. And the other is to ensuring the customer has value on their card and they understand the benefits of maintaining the relationship.
All right. Now, shifting gears here to a kind of breaking news, it looks like Goldman Sachs is making a play in the U.S. credit card industry. Can you give us a little bit more detail about what they're doing and how that's going to impact things?
Yeah, of course. This is an exciting move in the bank card industry, and a lot has yet to settle on where this will go. But what we do know is that Goldman Sachs recently hired an exec from Discover Card. They started building a product called Marcus. Marcus is actually the first name of Mr. Goldman, who was one of the founders of Wall Street. But they've started a good play on installment loans. Now, they bought a company in California called Final, which has some foundation in the credit card business. So it gives them a launch point to move into the aggressive market for credit cards in the U.S. So it'll be an interesting play. We're not talking about a bootstrapped fintech who's joining the business. This is Goldman Sachs, and they have lots of money, lots of infrastructure, and keen desires to generate revenue.
Now, as we look forward into 2018, what are your predictions for the credit card industry?
Well, we publish those in our outlook so that we're kind of duty-bound to follow them through at the end of the year and say how well we did. And if you look at that report, you'll see that we have that scorecard first. And we actually did pretty well. But looking in 2018, we see really several important factors. First of all, we expect the return on asset to continue to deteriorate. Now, we did call that number where it landed in 2016 within 2 basis points of where it ended up, which was at 3.74. So we're pretty adept at following that number. And we see that number falling to about 3.49%. Significant to keep your eye on because it really does say you've got to control your credit losses, you've got to control expenses, and really manage the revenue that's involved. The next item that we deal with involves risk, and we see growing write-offs, potentially 50 basis points of deterioration on the write-off rates. Revolving debt set a record that exceeded the pre-recession high point at 1.02 trillion in 2017. We see that moving up to right around $1.08 trillion. So it's a lot of money moving in that. As far as market factors, there's three important things that we look at. Hopefully, unemployment stays where it is. Right now, it's at 4.1%. There might be a little opportunity to drop that down a little bit. And that's really important when you think about the whole essence of a credit card. It's really tightly bound to the consumer's household. We also see prime rate rising. The expectation is that there might be three bumps this year, but it certainly can hit 5%. That will filter through to all of our credit cards, including mine, possibly raising the rates by up to one full percentage point on the annual interest rate, so it could have some impact there. When you start thinking of those households that have multiple credit cards, you know, this is not a number that will blow your budget away, but you're going to start feeling the pain soon enough. Now, as long as the economic factors continue to be good, so we have low inflation and so forth, that won't stress things out. But if we start seeing inflation, that's something to keep your eye on. And as far as the average consumer credit card rate, we see the reported rate to be in the 13.78%. Then when you look at product growth, we do expect to see a record number of open accounts because there is just momentum that's there. Our caution is that we slow it down a little bit and manage and really just farm the customers we have today. But also a big number that measures the industry is the contingent liability. And that's if you look at everyone's credit cards. And what is if everyone went out and spent all their open credit line, how much would that be? And that's a number in the range of $3.8 trillion, which is certainly a significant number for the United States market.
Great. Thank you for that. Now, you know, if we could take everything that we discussed upon today and kind of really boil it all down, like what does it really mean for the market participants?
Well, you know, certainly the factors of credit relate to a lot of players. And the first one to look at is the consumer. You know, right now, everybody's happy. Certainly the 401ks are growing well. There's a lot of positive economics. But the consumer household that's using credit, those that revolve, is really what's generating most of the revenue. And you have to be really cautious about how much credit you want to carry. And this is an important time as you start thinking about interest rates rising and people's tax refunds will be coming in. It's a good time to pay down your bill. To the contingency of issuers, it's really important to know that you really have to manage the retention of accounts. It costs a lot of money to book a new account. The typical number that's used is about $260, $270 to source a new account. That's without throwing in all these super incentives. It's a baseline number. So protecting that cost of acquisition is important, and also shielding your accounts from retention becomes very important. And to really kind of torque down what's going on as far as booking new accounts, because it does create a vulnerability. If you're an investor looking at the market, you've got to consider the fact that the card business is not as profitable as it had been. Now, it does really come in much stronger than retail banking. In fact, it still is more than two times the size of the return on asset for retail banking. But you have to keep in mind this is a high-risk business. If you think about what happened in the recession, not one single card issuer in the United States had posted a profit. And that's obviously significant to an investor. As far as vendors in the marketplace, there's lots of opportunities. You know, if you look at the basic needs of scoring, you know, propagating, say, the FICO score through the business becomes very important, and making sure that that's bolted in your process so it helps improve efficiency. Also, vendors that deal with analytic portfolios have certainly a lot of opportunity, because you've got to look at the whole flow of accounts in and really understand those dynamics and how do they get booked. And then on the back end of the business, how do you really assess your risk and how do you manage these $435 million that carry more than $1.02 trillion in revolving debt?
Now, the last question that I want to ask you is, what do you think is the next big thing in credit cards?
Well, there's a lot of new things, if you will, going on. And first, you have to look at mobile. There's some natural slow movement towards mobile. I don't think we'll see the skyrocketing volumes that many people forecasted. It's going to be a slow, mature growth, and that's very important. The other big thing that's important is looking at the whole business and will lenders be as aggressive as they have been? And you can really expect to see some tightening up on that, because many major issuers that are very well-run businesses are starting to feel the pain of some of their aggressive movements. We also have to keep your eye out on potential credit line increase opportunities and also at the same time looking for some credit line decreases. If you go back to what we spoke to a moment ago about the contingent liability, there's a lot of unused credit out there, and issuers like to leave them open so customers don't leave, but you still have to manage that prudently because you don't want somebody who's going to start using their card once they lose their job. You have to keep a good eye on it. So that's really important. And when you look at the next big thing in cards, something stands out is what's going on with security and fraud. Certainly last year with Equifax, it was a lot of risk that comes in. One of the things that's affecting today is the number of direct mail accounts that goes out because there's so many synthetic and false identities that could be created from it. So really to sum, the next big thing is a composite of several items going on. And the first is probably a tightening of credit being extended. Not a stoppage, but certainly more forethought going into what's going out there from risk control. Some natural movement towards mobile payments, and certainly more digitalization in ways that you could interact with your issuer. And then finally, just to wrap it all together, is a more prudent eye on risk and how that can be managed through the process.
Well, Brian, thank you very much for taking the time today for speaking to us about the credit outlook for 2018, and we hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Terrific. Thank you, Ryan.
That wraps up another episode of the Payments Journal podcast. If you're interested in being part of the podcast, please reach out to us at info@mercatoradvisorgroup.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, and we look forward to keeping you up to date with the latest payment news.